I want to start with this. There's a place on earth that is 1,358 feet below sea level. Anybody got an idea where that is? Say it. Yes, that's correct. It is the lowest point on earth. It's the Dead Sea. Lowest point. It's situated between Israel and Jordan, and it is fed by the Jordan River and some other smaller streams, but the Dead Sea has no outlet. No outlet. All right? It's collecting. Water's going in, but it's not going out. The only way it actually goes out is through evaporation. Okay? So there is no flow. There's no flow going through the Dead Sea. Nothing going out. And because of that, it is one of the saltiest bodies of water on earth. Right? Because there's a lot of minerals left behind after evaporation. People actually love to swim in the Dead Sea because of the high concentration of minerals, and it makes the water really dense, and you literally won't sink. So if you look this up online, you look up pictures of people swimming in the Dead Sea, you're going to see people like sitting kind of like this, like they're in a chair, and they're doing nothing. They're just chilling, and they're like reading books. This is getting hard. They're reading books. I can't keep my balance. And they're on their phones. And they're just like, yo, this is great. It looks really, really fun. It will not let you sink. Right? And it seems like that's kind of a picture of the good life. Right? Sometimes I would like my Christian walk to be a little like that. Like I've done it for so long that it just kind of gets easier. Right? Whew. This Christian thing, it's like baking in the sun. You know? You just want it to get a little bit easier. You want it to be effortless sometimes, right? Get a little worn out. When do things start getting easy? Anybody asked that question the last couple weeks? Well, despite being nominated as one of the 7 wonders of the world, it didn't make the cut, but it got up to like number 14 wonders in the world. And being a tourist destination and a phenomenal source for skincare, come on, ladies, let's go. You like some of that stuff, the salt? And I have no idea what I'm talking about right now, but I think you like skincare, yes? There's one thing it doesn't have. It doesn't have life. There's no life. Not one single creature lives in the Dead Sea. Now we know why it's called that. There's no life. Why? Why? There is no flow. Okay? With no flow, things become stagnant. Now, many people come to church. You all came to church today. You're all listening today. And we do that for a lot of reasons. We do that to get ourselves right with God. We do that to learn. We do that to grow. But we don't do it to flow. We don't do it to flow. And here's what happens when you don't have flow in your walk with God. You become stagnant in your walk with God. And you can, quite honestly, become a little salty. Yeah? And that can look like a lot of different things. In the church, can look like a little bit of bitterness, a little bit of boredom, maybe a little resentfulness, maybe a little bit of stubbornness. Anybody stubborn out there? A little bit. Yeah. Whew. I hope that's not like a prophetic yeah for your child. Those firstborns, though, whoa, man, they are stubborn. I'll tell you. Yeah, I think someone said amen real quietly under their breath. Under there. You know, it can look like indifference. Like, I don't care anymore. It can look like uncertainty. It can even look hopeless. Stagnant walk can do that. You know, one of my goals for this year, for 2024, is to get flowing in God's Word. Flowing in God's Word. Not to get going in God's Word, but to get flowing in God's Word. Okay, there is a big difference between going and flowing. Because you need the gospel to come in. That's what we're doing today. We need the gospel coming in, but we also need the gospel going out, right? We need that flow in our lives. And one reason why I set up the Life Journal groups, we have a couple Life Journal groups going that you're always welcome to come to. One reason why I set those groups up the way I do is that when you go and you read the Word, and then you come back to the group with something to share, right? The purpose of that is to get flow started in your life, right? Reading, prayer, fasting, even this week, church attendance. This is all fantastic, but it's inward flow, and you need outward flow. And so we get that going by, what are we talking about today? Serving. We get that going by serving. Now, some of us are flowing very nicely. Very nice flow you got going on. Okay? The Word's coming in our heads, our ears. It's moving down to our hearts. And then it's leaving in service. See that flow? The gospel is supposed to move through your life. You see that? And that's a good thing. It's healthy. And it's what a vibrant Christian life looks like. All right? Turn to someone next to you and say, that's a nice flow. Go ahead. Do it. That's a nice flow. All right? We need the gospel to move through us. Others, myself included, many times, are like the Dead Sea. Everything is just being collected. Now, don't hear me like harping today. I'm not trying to harp on anybody, but this is what happens, and what happens in my life too. Right? We're like the Dead Sea. Things collect. Years and years of coming to church, and they just collect, and they collect in your life. But if it's not moving through you, it's just merely collecting in you, and you begin to feel a little dead in your walk with the Lord, and like you're just floating along, right? I feel like the Karate Kid right now. Let me see. Wow! You remember that scene? Wow. I just aged myself a little bit. Right there. Do you guys, have you ever watched A Karate Kid? Okay. All right. Classic. All right. We're good. We're connected. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go. So serving, okay, that's a lot of fun. But serving is the flow out of your Christian life. What's missing in your life? Let me suggest this. Flow. Flow. All over the Bible, it tells us to serve the Lord. Everywhere in the Bible, there are too many references to even go into. But just trust me when I say, it says serve the Lord repeatedly. And it's what God has asked us to do over and over and over again through the prophets, through the apostles, and Jesus himself. He desperately wants us to serve. Right? Now, am I talking about serving at Hope Church? Well, sure, I'm talking about that. But here, right, when you serve here, you're serving. It's awesome. You're serving the whole body. Right? There's people in the nursery and teaching our kids and bringing in donuts and doing all that stuff, and they're serving the whole body. I love that. But I'm also talking about just serving your family and your job and your neighbors, all of that, right? And I'm here to tell you today that we need to serve. We need to serve. Okay, Pastor, what do you mean we need to serve? Does God need me to serve? Come on. Does he need me? You think God needs you? Let's answer that. Let's answer that right off the bat. Acts chapter 17, starting verse 24. Here's what it says. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. That includes a lot of stuff. Everything comes from the Lord, even our abilities to serve. Amen. It's all from the Lord. And if you read further down, Acts goes on to say, Luke writes, for in him we live and we move and we have our being. It's all in him. One, he doesn't need us. So no, he doesn't need something from me. Let's take this one step further. One way God was served in the Old Testament was through the sacrifice of animals. The whole sacrificial system and the setting up of the temple and altars. Did you know that when Solomon dedicated the temple, he sacrificed 22,000 heads of cattle? Okay, look at someone and say, that's a lot of beef. That is a lot of beef. Yo, I just feel like if I say yo on the end, that... All right, fail. Fail. Okay, and 120,000 sheep and goats. Okay, that's a lot of stuff, right? And yet, listen to what Psalm 50 has to say. Psalm 50, starting in verse 9. Here's what it says. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't even tell you, because the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I even eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? No, God doesn't do that. He says, sacrifice thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. You will honor me. Right? So if you just pick a point outside and just do a 360, and God, it's all God's. Right? Everything we have, our gifts, all of it, our sacrifices, all the stuff we give to God, our time, our talents, and our treasures, it's already owned by God. It's like God required a sacrifice as payment for our wrongdoings. But then he said, here, let me provide for you what I require of you. Now you give it back to me, and we're going to call it good between us. I mean, how good is God? Right? He never ate all that stuff. He then gave it back to the people so they could have a huge celebration and worship him and have some fun. So then once you've given me back what I gave to you to give to me, I'll give it back to you again, and then you can share it with everybody. I mean, that's, he doesn't need our sacrifices, but here's what he does. He graciously accepts our sacrifices. He accepts them. And that's a big difference between needing them and accepting them, right? Our God is good. He's chosen to accept our offerings to him that he provided in the first place. Okay, that would be like if I gave you money to buy me lunch, and then I accepted that as you offering me lunch. Oh, thank you. Thank you for buying me lunch with the money I gave you. Right? I mean, it's crazy. So let me get this straight. God owns everything. He doesn't need anything. He gives me everything I need to honor him and then graciously accepts it as if it were for me, from me. I mean, what a revelation of God's goodness. What do we do with this? What do we do with it? Here's what we do. 1 Peter chapter 4. This is it right here. Ready? It says this. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to, there it is, serve. Serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Okay, we need to think deeply about this verse. Think about this. When you serve, you're not just like offering up your time. You're actually becoming something more. A steward of grace. A steward of grace. That's right. If you're wondering right now, like, what? I don't even know what to do for the Lord. I don't even know my purpose. Or what's next? Let me give you your purpose right now. Your purpose is to be a steward of God's grace. And that is a great purpose. And it's all God wants. You don't have to do more than that. Be a steward of God's grace. Now, this is the why of why we need to serve. It's not to pay God back for anything. God doesn't want to be paid back. He literally can't be paid back. He cannot. It all belongs to him. To even try to do that is absolutely ridiculous because it's all his. It's not out of obligation that he wants us to serve. He doesn't want obligation to be our motivation. He wants to be honored. But how can we really honor such a great and mighty God? How can I do that? I'm so far beneath him. What do I really have? What do I really have to offer? Here's what I have. I have the opportunity to give my life to him so that his grace can flow through me in service. And if we steward his grace by serving someone else, we have honored the Lord. Has anyone received grace in the room? Quite a bit of grace in the room. And we struggle with grace sometimes because we've received it and we know we've received grace, but then when someone does us wrong, we don't always want to give it. Right? But we need to. We've got to remember that grace is a gift from God and it's not meant to be collected in our lives and just sit there and grow stagnant. It's meant to be stewarded. steward it. Or in another way, it can be said, it's meant to flow through you. And this is really what it means to serve. Serving God means we allow God to use us to love others. Let me say it in a different way. We allow His grace in us to flow through us to love others. Does that make sense? Let God's grace flow through your life. All right? Get the flowing going. You can do that by serving and loving others. Here's another great thing about 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 here. This is fantastic. Not only does it tell us we need to serve others, but you don't even have to worry really about how to do this. It's easy. It tells us right there. Use whatever gifts you have received. Whatever gift you have received. You know, I know someone in this room who's a great hairdresser. I won't mention any names. Maybe there's multiple hairdressers, but I know of one. And I told my son, hey, let's go get a haircut at this place. And he's like, no, I want her to do it. So she's like my son's hairdresser now. But she's serving in that way. Well, let's say that's her gift. My goodness. Let's say you're a CPA. I just randomly chose it. It's tax time, right? It's coming. Certified public accountant. Let's say that's what you are. Use it to help others with their finances, right? Use it to advise others. We need lots of financial advice in our lives. Let's say you're a teacher. Use that to help people learn. Become a mentor for someone. Let's say you're a worship leader. Use it to help us praise. We did that this morning. Let's say you just have phenomenal baking skills, like my wife. Hello. Okay, I just have to tell you, she has started making homemade bread. I could die and go to heaven right there. So bake on, girl. Use that talent. You know how many cookies she's brought? I mean, that's serving the church. Come on. I love it. What do you have? You might say, I don't have anything. I got nothing. I'd say, that's not true. I would say, can you play an instrument? Can you sing? Can you sit with little ones in the nursery? Can you just encourage someone today here at church? Can you write a nice note for someone? Can you pray for someone? Can you open up your home? Can you fix things? Are you handy? You know, a couple years ago, one of my pipe burst on my house. It was a day like today. Just about a foot inside the hose spigot, my pipe burst. And you know what happened? I'm like, what am I going to do? My neighbor came over, my next door neighbor, and he fixed it for me. Man, I was so thankful for that. I don't know if you guys know who my next door neighbor is, but he's a great guy, and I love him. And he did that for me, so I'm just thanking him today for that. You can use your gifts to serve the Lord. So what do you have? You might say, what I have is insignificant, Pastor. Let's say what you have is insignificant and you literally have nothing to offer. At least that's what you think. Let me just grab an illustration. This right here. The Bible says that if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will not lose their reward. I mean, does this seem insignificant? Does it seem like nothing? It's the most simple thing you could do. But sometimes, guys, I have found that it's the smallest thing you do for someone that people need in the moment. And you can do that. Whatever the cup of water is, you can do that. You can do that for someone. So get going and start flowing. All right, I want to close with this. A couple scriptures here. Matthew 20 says this, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus didn't come to be served, to get something from it, but he came to serve, to get nothing, from it. And as we close this today, I just want to read from a portion of Scripture. Let me read this quick story. Listen, well, I don't have it up there, but just listen to this story from one of the greatest examples of what Jesus did in his earthly ministry, John chapter 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal and he took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin. And he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, no, you're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus replied, "You don't realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," Peter said, "you should never wash my feet." Jesus said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then Lord," Peter said, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus said, "Those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you're clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him." And that was why he said not everyone was clean. But when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you? Do you understand what I've done for you?" He asked them, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example so that you should do as I have done for you." What a great story. This isn't a story about miracles here and, you know, people being healed. This is a story of service. Everybody raved about the miracles of Jesus. But Jesus loves everyday life service. Sometimes the most practical act of kindness is the most profound thing we can do to serve the Lord. Amen? And Peter, you know, he didn't want to be served. He didn't feel worthy to be served. That's why he said that. But he needed to learn how to serve, and he needed to learn how to allow grace to flow through him. by serving others. Listen, we are forever in debt to God's grace. We will never be able to pay Him back for what He's done, but we can let grace flow through our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Jesus, we're so thankful for the example that You set, becoming a servant. You put Yourself in the most humble position of all, the position to serve. And we are so blessed for that. You gave Yourself for us so that we could have life. God, let us learn to allow Your grace to flow through our lives as we give it to others. Let us be willing to follow Your example. And Lord, be with us this week as we leave this place and we spend some time with the Father, fasting and praying. Give us vision, Lord, this week. Give us healing, Lord. Give us purpose. Reveal Your deep truth to us as we draw close to You. God, pull us out of those of us that feel like we're just floating along. Pull us out of that. Pull us out of the dead walk, out of the stagnation. Help us to walk with You. And that the Spirit of God would flow through our lives this week. That it would begin in our own homes. And it would flow out of our homes, through our families, and through our lives, and to our neighbors and our communities. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen.